There is something interesting about tragedy that locks in our memory. I can remember very clearly this week when I heard about Notre Dame and the fire that happened there. I knew where I was sitting. I knew the moment that my wife told me and showed me a picture. Yet I don't remember most of the meals that I had this week, nor really anything that I did last week. I remember where I was when I first heard about Harvey and when I first saw the images. I remember the smell. I remember the temperature. I remember the seat. I remember who was around me. I remember the day in which I was taken out of class and learning and saw the images of 9/11. I remember the conversations. I remember the images. I remember the place vividly. And yet I don't remember most of the birthday parties that were thrown for me. There's something about tragedy that locks in our memory. And Jesus knew this. Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew that tragedy was before them. He knew that the disciples were about to suffer and that he was about to suffer. And he knew that these moments would be remembered, not only in the disciples' mind, but for the years to come, for the generations to come. He knew that this moment would be remembered. And he chooses his words and his actions carefully. He wants us to remember these moments. He wants us to remember these times. He knew what was going about to happen, and he reached out to the disciples in a way that when they would reflect back, they would deeply understand more of why he came here and what he was doing, not only in their lives, but for humanity. Many times when we think about Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God doing things in our lives, we look for big moments. We look for those things that stand out, those high points, those low points. But the truth is that Jesus and God, just like he did with the disciples in this moment, is speaking a word to us that we don't always fully understand. He tells Peter, "You don't realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Many times the work that God is doing us as a people, as individuals, as followers of him, is only found in reflection, is only found in those moments in which the Holy Spirit brings those strings together to show us the chord that he's been forming in our lives. Jesus chose his actions and his words carefully in the disciples so that when they would reflect back, they would know two deep truths about what God calls us to as a people. He gives them a place at the table in which we will celebrate here in just a little bit, a reminder of the sacrifice that is to come that he will show, that he will give for us, a place where we will deeply root our memory in the fact that we were loved when we didn't deserve it, that God is always calling us back into relationship with him, back into relationship with him, that he deeply cares and wants to be with his people because that's what he created us to be from the very beginning. So he gives us a simple place at the table to remember that truth. We also see in the Gospels and from the scripture today that he also shows us another thing, that we as people of God are called to root ourselves in service to one another and in this world. He gives us an example. He acknowledges that he is teacher and Lord, but that he himself not only would give himself up for us, but gave an example of a simple task of washing the feet of those at the table. A simple reminder that we are not only rooted in a deep love that has been shown to us, but are called to reflect that and be that for those that we come across. Later, Jesus would tell his disciples at this meal to love one another, and by that love, the world would know him. Thinking about service can be hard. thinking about this commandment to love one another can sometimes be overwhelming because we feel that we must be people of grand gesture and moments of powerful. We don't feel that we measure up. We might not feel that we are holy enough. We might not feel that we can deliver big moments of love. And so we might become demoralized. But Jesus gives us, in this example, I would say three simple things for what it means and what it means to understand what it, that practical daily love. And the first is this. It's rooted in the heart of servanthood. This he calls out. This one he mentions, as I have served you, servant. It is in a rooted need not to show people that you are following Christ, but to value someone else. To take a moment to think, to empathize with that person, to say, where are they? And how can I, in this moment, be a source of encouragement and love in their life? Rooting it in value, in that true value of another person's life as we value our own lives. The second thing is that Jesus does something simple. He washes their feet. He tells people, I'm not here to wash your whole body. I'm here just to wash your feet. A simple thing. You've been walking around all day. Your feet are dirty, and I'm washing them. It's a simple act. It's not Jesus will do a grand act of love here in just a little bit, but he reminds us that our daily walk is about doing simple things. Not everyone is in deep crisis. In fact, most of us, in seasons of wilderness, lots of times there are moments of great tragedy that we experience, but many of us are walking just a daily life. And what it means to love one another is just to ask the question, how can I be just a little bit of a help, a smile, a small act of kindness, whether it's getting someone a coffee? How can I every day do small acts of love in those I come across? Rooting ourselves and looking for opportunities, however small or large they may be, because it is in the consistency of our witness that we are a powerful testimony to what it means to live as servants and love people of God. And the last thing is remembering this, that Jesus in this time was doing things that might not fully have been understood to the people that he was loving. He knew they didn't fully understand the things that were going on in this moment. So many times when we serve, we might root it in our need for credit. We might root it in our need for recognition. But the truth is so many times it's about planting seeds. It's about sitting and listening with that person who just needs a moment to vent. It's about giving someone a ride when their car has broken down. They may not remember that moment, and they may. But the truth is we are called to plant seeds of love in every moment of every day and trusting that God is doing a bigger thing in their lives. Playing our part in that moment to show them a little bit of love and allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to send people their way of that message of love, that in their reflection they might see not what you did, but the hand of God in their lives and the many people that they came across, those they remember and those they don't. So as we remember this command to love, let us root ourselves in servanthood, seeking every day to do small things in the lives of those that we both care about and the stranger that we encounter, realizing that the hand of God is doing a powerful work in their lives and trusting that Spirit in their lives as we trust it in our own. Amen.
Amen.
Would you pray with me? God, we come to you today because, Lord, we remember your call of love, both a love that you deeply showed us, a place at the table in which you gave us a place to remember that love, God, and also the call to love one another, that your light might shine in those that we encounter as people, as a church, in our city and in this world. God, we turn to you this Thursday. Lord, we know the things that are to come, the sacrifice that you would give and the conquering that you will do. But Lord, we pray that this Thursday you would remind us this weekend the simple call to love one another. We give you this time. We give you our lives. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.